always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Hey, you want good health care? Just trust J.B. Pritzker.
Oh, no.
He'll take care of it, all right? That's how this works.
Because he embodies good health care.
just like they'll keep you safe in Illinois.
Yes. Good. It's one of those.
Mm-hmm. All right, 8:05 right now. I'm Mike Ferguson. Got Gabe Pfeiffer here. Got Stel Ponticus here as well. Hey, don't forget Newstalk STL's app. We've got this promo playing on the station now, and I love how they say it. It says, if you got a phone, you've got a radio.
It's true.
And so just put the app on, carry us around anywhere you want. Of course, if you got a brand new car, you could probably download the app right on your car as well. But around the metro area, I've had people say, man, I'm into whatever's being said, and I go through a little gap between 101.9 and 94.1. Well, just get the app, and then you can Bluetooth us in and listen to us that way as well.
And if you're nerdy about it, cellular networks already work on radio waves, so it's absolutely a radio.
Yeah, what he said. 8:06 right now, we're joined by State Representative Chris Miller from the Illinois Legislature and the Freedom Caucus, Illinois Freedom Caucus as well. Chris, appreciate you being on the program here. Let me start on a more somber note here. And this, unfortunately, there are times I want to be wrong, and I think times you want to be wrong, when the complaints about the Safety Act and the overall approach to the soft on crime, I would even argue almost coddling criminals approach to law enforcement and criminal justice that, you know, a lot of people on the left have been pushing. And several of us were saying, you're going to endanger the lives of not just people, but law enforcement themselves. Tragically, we've had multiple law enforcement officers hurt and killed in Illinois just over the past few weeks or so. I don't want to trumpet, I told you so. My guess is you don't want to do that either. I'd much rather have been proven wrong on that. But now we've got real world results from bad policies from the hard left. Is any of this getting through to some of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I know that the bottom line is this is all the result of bad public policy, and no one is safer. And actually, it's getting to the place where people are even concerned about going out even to their local grocery store to buy groceries.
Morning, Chris. Gabe Pfeiffer here. And it sounds like there's, you know, in addition to the issues with domestic criminals, we've also seem to be importing criminals from all over the world out in Chicago with the illegal alien problem. Are you seeing any push by residents who may usually be not amenable to Republican voting, just kind of changing their minds a little bit on their political support?
Well, I know that I've heard rumors of that, but, you know, when they go to the polls and close the curtain, who knows what they are going to do. But when you just look at it from a common sense standpoint, you know, every quality of life issue is gone downhill under this current regime. And, you know, when you think about safety and security, quality education, energy independence, economic opportunity, inflation's off the charts, all these things are hitting home with real working class citizens here in Illinois. And I know one thing that I have heard is that the black and brown community in the Chicagoland area are not very happy with the Santa Claus approach to taking care of the illegal aliens that have invaded our state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also that divide between downstate and Chicago as well, not just over this, but over a lot of these policies, whether it's, you know, law enforcement, that sort of thing. We're still seeing that divide in particular. I mean, when I was growing up in Illinois, that was a divide that we had back then when I lived in Decatur and Camp Point and Pittsfield and Quincy and those areas. It just seems like that division is getting driven deeper and wider, at least from my perspective over here on the Missouri side now.
Well, one of the things that we have noticed is that is that the politicians in Springfield refuse to take any ownership for their bad public policy. That's because they've created this mess. And the only way that it's going to get fixed is that they admit that they have a problem and then go through the, you know, step-by-step process in fixing the problem that they created.
We are visiting with Representative Chris Miller. He's a member of the Illinois Freedom Caucus in the Illinois legislature. Just over the past week, Chris, Governor Pritzker was here in the St. Louis metro area, and he was touting his push. What's he calling it? The Health Care Protection Act or something like that. Mm-hmm. So basically wants to guarantee more health care. So essentially, we've got another big government push to health care. What is it that he's arguing for? And more importantly, Chris, what is it we need to be aware of?
Well, the thing that you need to be aware of is there's no truth in advertising. These guys are serial liars, and they lie with impunity because they know that the liberal press typically isn't. They never hold their feet to the fire. You know, if you read between the lines on this, all this is about more insurance, expanded health care for illegals. And any time that they start talking about that, it's completely a non-starter for myself and the Illinois Freedom Caucus.
And what's the read in the Capitol? I mean, obviously, you're outnumbered. I mean, are we in danger of seeing something like this implemented? It becomes more expensive. It obviously, we see what happens to the quality of health care for everybody else. And eventually, you know, one of our listeners just commented, it says, been in Illinois my whole life. They're forcing people to want to leave. And that's the bottom line, is at some point people just can't take it anymore.
Well, and I think that that's a common theme that we heard, is people that can are leaving. And, you know, we've led enough population that we have lost a congressional seat, and projected for 2030 is the possibly to lose another 1 to 2 seats. And so, you know, this is concerning, but, you know, the ultimately, when they start, there's nothing free. Somebody's going to pay for it. And when they are giving free Cadillac health insurance to the illegals, we're going to pay for that in higher premiums. And eventually, I mean, right now, health care to, you know, that I have several young married children, and it's a real problem for them to even afford health care themselves. And it's pretty frustrating to them as hardworking taxpaying citizens to see all these handouts to the illegals and rolling out the red carpet. Every quality of life issue for the illegals gets better, while every quality of life issue for us gets worse.
All right, let me ask
you. People are leaving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, we know that's documented. We know that's happening. Let me ask you about an article I found on thecentersquare.com. The headline is Bill Expanding Emergency Powers for Illinois State Agency Advances. Now, Illinois, you know, just so people understand, was one of the most draconian when it comes to locking things down and shutting down people's lives over the whole COVID fear-mongering thing. And so now it looks like in the legislature, there's a push to what? Either make those powers more permanent or expand them. And this has to do with the Illinois Emergency Management Agency. Anytime I hear expand emergency powers by any government entity, I get the heebie-jeebies. What is it that's being proposed right now?
Well, I know that one thing that we're just starting to hear about this, but if you think about the history of the current regime that's in power, is that they've pretty much governed by executive fiat. I mean, hardly anything that they've done has gone through the legislative process. Governor Pritzker has decreed it, and so therefore it happens, and the Democrats are completely in charge. They've totally made a mess out of everything here in Illinois, and this is just another way of implementing more power to them to continue on the downward spiral in destroying the state of Illinois.
Yeah, and one of the things about this particular bill, and if somebody wants to get all wonky and they want to look it up in Illinois, it's called Senate Bill 3434, so kind of easy to remember there. According to the report here, it says the language of the bill says the agency, meaning Illinois Emergency Management Agency, says the agency shall do all things necessary, incidental, or appropriate for the implementation of the Illinois Emergency Management Agency Act, including the adoption of rules in accordance with the Illinois Administrative Procedure Act, which basically it sounds to me like, Representative Chris Miller, that it means you're empowering bureaucrats to just make up the rules as they go along and claim them under an Emergency Powers Act in order to just say, well, we have a declared emergency. But J.B. Pritzker kept the ongoing declaration of emergency over the COVID stuff going on literally for years after it was a danger to people. I see this as one of the biggest dangers to people's rights in Illinois, where I grew up.
Absolutely. I mean, this should be a red flag to everybody to pay attention to what's going on. And don't listen to what these clowns say. Watch what they do, because there's a big difference between those two entities. But I know that the problem is that people want us to push back, and we are pushing back, but the only vehicle we have is messaging. We're in a super minority, and the people that are in charge are completely out of control. They all need to be fired in November, and so it's important that we go out for that, that we, the people's voice, is heard.
Chris, now you mentioned the importance of elections and getting more opposition power going there. But with the stranglehold that J.B. Pritzker has over an ascendant Democratic Party because of the size of Chicago and the way it's sort of set up, is there any remedy other than basically waiting it out for him to get out there and hope for the best in the battle for an empty seat?
Well, the biggest thing that we have is that we have to throw sand in their gears. We need to slow down the process because we do call Springfield the bad idea factory because, I mean, there isn't hardly. Yeah, because it is a bad idea factory. About the time that you think that you've heard it all, they trot out just another bad ideas. But and when we look at what's going on, there's no real reforms. There's no real tax relief. There's no real estate tax relief. And we can't even get anything done with the death tax. And so these people in charge are tyrannizing working class citizens. Nothing's going to change as long as they're in charge. And so they have to be fired. And we can't win elections with a 10% turnout. We can't win elections with even a 50% turnout. We need to get into the 75% to 80% voter turnout in order to fire these clowns and elect good people that care about the citizens of Illinois.
All right. State Representative Chris Miller, member of the Illinois Freedom Caucus. And we've tagged the Freedom Caucus on our social media. Chris, somebody wants to follow the work that you're doing. Is the best way to do that through the legislative websites, or do you have your own campaign or other website people can connect with?
Well, I know that the Illinois Freedom Caucus has a website. I know that we have social media through, most of the people follow me through Facebook. I have a legislative Facebook page as well as a campaign Facebook page, so they can find and follow really all of the Freedom Caucus members through that. We send out a weekly newsletter, which is done stateside, so it's not political propaganda. It's just information about what happened this week in Springfield, and that's a helpful tool. I have one of those. All the Freedom Caucus members have one, and even the Illinois Freedom Caucus puts out a weekly newsletter that you can sign up for. I think that an informed electorate will get out and we'll make the changes that are necessary, but if we have low information voters that just listen to the spin and hyperbole on the network news and liberal talk radio, then we have a problem.
All right, State Representative Chris Miller, good chatting with you. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thanks, Chris.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, 314-912-1019. Going to dump some news on you here right around 8:22. I like him.
Yeah, I do too.
There's a guy who's like, oh, they're going to hear that me, I call them clowns and that they're tyrannizing people. I don't care. I like that guy.
Yes. That's the right attitude.
I'm okay with that guy.
Yes.
All right. All right. Let's get some news dump on you here. Like I said, just ahead of 101.9 941 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The Morning News Dump.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
Listen, folks. The Morning News Dump.
Missouri lawmakers try again to deny taxpayer funds to the human butchery known as Planned Parenthood. They're almost there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see whether this one sticks. New rules could make it more expensive, or will make it more expensive, for airlines to screw up your travel.
Good.
And terrorist sympathizing snowflakes find out the hard way, don't mess with Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't play that there.
I know. The I just a little bit ago, I saw the video once again. It just gave me the warm fuzzies. All right, 8:23 right now. Got Stella and Gabe here. My name is Mike. All right, the bill to defund Planned Parenthood in Missouri has passed both chambers of the state legislature. So now it's up to the governor.
Mm-hmm.
The bill cleared the House on Wednesday. It already cleared the state Senate. So if signed into law, and I believe the governor will sign this into law, it makes Planned Parenthood ineligible for reimbursements from the state's Medicaid program. Doesn't matter what they're doing. Now, the abortions are illegal at the moment in the state right now,
right?
But it doesn't matter what the services would be that they provide, even a legitimate one,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, STD testing or whatever the case is, they would be ineligible specifically from getting those reimbursements.
Right, because money is fungible.
Right.
And of course, being affiliated with a national organization that provides abortions elsewhere and does even more so in terms of advocacy for abortion politically, well, yeah, you're just a front in Missouri,
right.
You know, so we're not going to contribute.
Yeah, the abortion provider is expected to challenge the law in court because lawmakers have defunded Planned Parenthood before.
They've attempted to anyway.
And it's been struck down in the courts.
Yeah.
And
because of the way they did it.
Right. And so we spoke with State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman a little bit earlier. That's going to be up on our podcast
mm-hmm.
in just a little bit. And we asked her about that. We said, okay, what's going to be different here? And she kind of explained a little bit going into the weeds, but that's important
yeah.
in this case
yeah.
as to why they believe that they've given an admittedly left-leaning Missouri Supreme Court little to no room to try to strike it down this time, because mm-hmm. they'll look for an excuse, but basically they've taken what the state Supreme Court has said. Well, here's why you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd done this, then we'd be able to do it. Well, that's what they did this time.
Yeah.
So here, check out that podcast. It'll be up in a couple hours or so.
Yep.
All right. Pro Hamas, although mm-hmm. they would call themselves pro Palestine.
But they're pro Hamas.
They're pro Hamas. Pro Hamas demonstrations continue to kind of pop up all over college campuses around the country. It started at Columbia, then went to New York University, MIT, and now it's happening at the University of Texas Austin, which we'll talk about here in a second. USC, there's one planned here in the St. Louis region as well. Senator Josh Hawley was on Hannity last night on Fox, and he says, listen, a lot of Jewish students, we've got many confirmed cases of Jewish students being threatened. He says they're not safe going to their classes. We've seen video of Jewish people physically being stopped
yeah.
by these so-called protesters who are basically acting the way that the what we eventually would call Nazis act.
Mm-hmm.
They were prior to what yeah. we would call Nazis back in the 30s.
The brown shirts.
Yeah. And they're acting like it now. Mm-hmm. And Senator Hawley says we need to have more action taken, especially on these campuses, to deal with the rising anti-Semitism.
Send in the National Guard and wake these kids up. I mean, they ought to know. They can't do this. They ought to know they don't have any right to occupy these campuses. They don't have any right to threaten their fellow students.
Okay, so locally, far left student groups are planning an anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protest to march on Washington University's campus or clear nearby. We don't exactly know where or when, but we know that's expected to happen this weekend. I want to point something out because I there were some people who got irritated with me over the years and years I've been on the air
mm-hmm.
that anytime we didn't like something that somebody on the left did, it was immediately we rushed to, this is what Hitler did. This is the Nazis. And I would get into arguments with people saying, listen, not everything we don't like is Hitler.
Right.
Not yeah. everything we don't like is Nazis.
That's kind of what the left was doing all the time
right.
with Trump. And we were annoyed at that, rightfully well, so.
And George W. Bush, too. And,
oh, yeah. God, gosh, know? Yes. Yeah. He's literally Hitler. Remember that?
Right.
That was a meme. Literally Hitler.
Right. And mm-hmm. I mean, they've done that with DeSantis and mm-hmm. a bunch of others as well.
Yep.
And so, you know, I've been really, really quick to point out that not everything we disagree with is like Hitler or Nazis, okay?
Right.
What we're seeing, the behavior we're seeing right now does look
mm-hmm.
like the precursor to what happened in Germany in the 30s and 40s.
Right, yes. I mean, the whole idea of never forget, you know, the whole
right.
idea of never again is that you have to be aware of when you're stepping across certain right. lines, when you're stepping in a certain direction, and that's the direction we're going in right now.
Which is one of the reasons that I always wanted to challenge people on our side who wanted to rush right to, that's Nazis. You know, that's what Hitler did. Because if we say that with everything we don't like. One, it's not true. Secondly, it waters down the impact when something actually does resemble
right
what happened.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see that right now is from a historical context. Literally, when I saw the video of the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian, whatever you want to call it, locking arms with a young Jewish man trying to get to his class on campus, and they wouldn't let him through because he's Jewish.
Yes.
You cannot deny that that's the same mindset that happened close to a century ago.
Yeah. 1933. Was it? What picture did you see, Stel, that kind of reminded you of this?
It was the University of Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
And on the front steps, maybe 15, 20 steps leading up into the building, everybody had their arms locked together, and they were blocking all the students from getting in, all the Jewish
all
students.
All the Jewish students.
Just the Jewish ones.
Yes. And this is 1933. This is previous, prior to Hitler's rise of power, prior to the Nazis. This is the thing that was bubbling up that created that craziness there.
Yeah, precisely. Let's see here. Some other news. Thanks to some home security video from a Dutchtown resident, St. Louis police now have a better idea who's been stealing some cars from that part of town. This is really interesting. The vehicles were stolen in broad daylight by a man driving a blue C&J transportation tow truck. The driver was confronted by the homeowner when he apparently came back for a third vehicle in the area after stealing two other cars over the past couple of weeks, because he just pulled in his tow truck and had his shirt on with the logo and his name on a patch and just loaded up the cars and drove off. And finally, somebody went, hey,
wait a minute.
Yeah, hold on a second. So when she said, I'm calling the cops, he got out of there.
Yeah.
Because if it's a legitimate tow, the guy's like, fine.
I got paperwork.
Yeah, I'll show you my paperwork. That he got out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So far, no arrests have been made. Mm. Okay, get this. I want to sneak this one in here real quick regarding the airline stuff, because it kind of hurts me a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think that the administrative state, if you will, under Biden is actually getting something right. And I hate saying that, so somebody talked me down off the ledge, but changes are coming to how airlines issue refunds. So the Department of Transportation has issued a new rule mandating airlines issue cash refunds for things like flight delays or cancellations. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg was talking about that on Fox, of all places, on America Reports.
Often we have situations where you get delayed so much that you're not even going to make it to that wedding or meeting or whatever you're flying to. You wind up booking another ticket on a different airline. You pay more for that. If you're in that scenario, then you should at least be getting your original airfare on your original airline back.
Okay, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I agree with what Pete Buttigieg just said.
What?
I can't.
It hurts. It hurts every single time one of these crazies who's lying to us 99.9% of the time comes up and they say something that 0.1% of the time, and I'm just like, wow, that was actually true, or that's right, or that's good. I always feel weird about it.
I
but
know.
But you have to be intellectually honest.
If your focus is on finding truth and what's right, then it doesn't matter who says it.
Yeah.
But the delays that are covered would be anything over 3 hours. So the plane coming in late and, hey, sorry, it's going to be a 30-minute delay doesn't count.
Yeah, we caught a headwind, so we're, off by 15 minutes. You know, or, that doesn't count.
Or the connecting flight delayed that one, then that doesn't count. But if it's 3 hours domestically or 6 hours internationally, they can offer you other alternative transportation. Hey, I've got another flight tonight. I've got another flight in the morning. If you take that flight, they're covered. They did their part.
Yes.
If you say, hey, that doesn't work for me and it's up to you, then they owe you a refund.
Right.
And that's how it works. And those rules are going to be implemented in just about 6 months. And it doesn't matter where you bought the plane tickets from, by the way.
You know, think back to the pandemic. Everything they told us that was a lie. The one thing that they said was true was wash your hands a lot.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yes. Okay. I'll do that.
Exactly. Yes.
Forget the rest of it, but I'll do that.
Yeah, right. That's a good idea.
Yes.
All right. Cardinals won 5-1 over the Diamondbacks last night. So they salvage the win for the series. They're off today. They play the New York Mets in New York tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 314-912-1019. This is 1019 941 Newstalk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
On Rumble, Ed commented, he said, fancy that, a refund for service is not rendered.
Right?
He's so smart. Point taken. However, the way the federal government basically has been in bed with the airlines, mm-hmm. they let them get away with financial murder mm-hmm. for decades.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, yes, is this a common sense thing? Yes. Is this the same approach there? Yes. But the fact of the matter is Republican and Democrat administration before, they just kind of coddled them.
They just let this go. Yeah, there were times where I got so screwed by the airline in terms of you know, my scheduling getting messed up. And, you know, the most I ever got was like a couple hundred dollars worth of a voucher to go back on this terrible airline. You know, so I'm just, it never sat well with me.
The worst horror story I've got mm-hmm. is my honeymoon, Rachel and I's honeymoon. Mm-hmm. So we were flying to Scotland and we were supposed to go through... Gosh, where were we supposed to go? We ended up going through Amsterdam, but I don't remember where the original connecting flight was supposed to be. Well, we were referred to some travel agency in Europe that said, we'll get you the best prices. We'll shop around and do the third party thing.
Sure.
Well, what they did is they found, you know, okay, from St. Louis to Philly or DC or wherever it was, you know, we'll buy this ticket. And then we found another flight, mm-hmm. you know, a few hours later from that airport over to, you know, the connecting. And then, okay, well, there was a bad storm that rolled through St. Louis the night we were supposed to leave. Mm-hmm. So we get delayed. And what we found out the hard way was that all of those other ticket purchases had nothing to do with this one.
Right. They weren't associated. Yeah.
We just lost it all.
Right.
So ugh. I had to get my debit card out and just rebook us both for $1,200.
Oh, man.
And then they flew us to Detroit and we had a hotel room for like 3 hours. Then they took us back to the airport and then, you know, and it was just a disaster that literally cost us like $1,200.
Man.
Now, under these rules, because I didn't find any exceptions for weather or anything.
Right.
They would have owed us either another flight mm-hmm. or they would have owed us a refund for whatever it was that Rachel bought the tickets for, because she set those up with that travel agency. But the other lesson I learned is don't buy them through those. If you don't have one person buying the whole thing mm-hmm. and they're all connected, don't do the piecemeal thing. Don't do it. We learned the hard way on that. Okay, so a lot of comments have been coming in throughout the day here. By the way, it's 8:39 regarding, you know, education. And one of the things we talked to Daryl Jones of the Herzog Foundation a little bit ago, and I'm really looking forward to when this goes up on the podcast here in a little bit, because this has been part of that secret sauce, that ingredient that I think a lot of people were missing until today.
Yeah.
And that is, why do I care? Yes, I am mm-hmm. against the Marxist indoctrination.
Sure.
Those damn left-wing administrators, those damn left-wing teachers unions. Okay, yes. And in concept, we're indignant about it.
Sure.
But you know what? My kids are out of school and my grandkids are, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's a study out that shows now that if you want better citizens in your community.
Like all the way around.
Right. Engaged, knowledgeable, more productive, more of that glue that holds a family together, therefore holds a community together.
More tolerant.
Right. More tolerant of everybody. Mm-hmm. They're more likely to come from a parochial or a private school.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I remember when the argument for public education was, do you want better citizens, more productive and good citizens? You need education. Education used to be the solution to everything. Right. Remember when the leftists were talking about, well, liberals back then. The liberals were talking about, well, the key to this, the key to getting people out of poverty, the key to having better a community and all these other things was education, right? That used to be the secret sauce. And that's right. that's why we must have more money for public education. But then all of a sudden, after they got everything they wanted, they got all kinds of money, all kinds of control of the public education system. Now, all of a sudden, they don't want to hear the results of the things that they've wrought.
Yeah, public education is two things. It's an indoctrination center and jobs guarantee program for union members.
Yes.
So, by the way, anytime somebody comes and says or wants to whine on social media or in person, it's like, you know, we underfund our public schools. My answer is shut the F up.
Yeah, yeah, that's just a lie.
Shut the F up.
It's not true.
It's just BS. Mm-hmm. It's so many things that I wish the FCC would allow me to say right now.
Demonstrably false.
That's my answer to it. It's so. But you know, we're talking about this with Daryl, and I said, well, that's the missing ingredient to why it's so crucial. And then a few minutes later, we talked to Caroline Moore from Parents Defending Education, who points out that there's now an activist group called Teaching While Muslim. Literally, that's their name. And they are shaping curriculum in some schools right now. And then you say, well, how do we get these numbskulls who are fighting with police in Texas and in New York City and Southern California? How are they so angry and passionate about being anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, hating the United States, being pro-Hamas, embracing literal Islamic terrorism? Well, where do you think it comes from?
Yeah.
This is where it comes from. And so when we look at why do we care about something like school choice, that's not a conservative versus liberal thing. That's a decent human being versus authoritarian thing.
Absolutely.
That's where this comes from.
We've got a direct connection, I think, too, because in our interview with Daryl, you know, there's this discussion about 87% of America's eighth graders aren't proficient in history and 78% not so in civics. And of course, they're being taught the type of curriculum that we talked about with Carolyn Moore. So you put those two things together and it makes total sense why we've got these idiots on these campuses who don't know history, who have a very skewed view of it, and who don't understand that you can't block access to public facilities. That would be the civics understanding that they don't seem to have.
So basically, if you're subscribed to our podcast, send our 7 o'clock hour. I mean, we'll have the individual interviews up
there,
but we've also got the hours.
Hourlies, yeah.
That we had, which we, once the segments or the breaks are taken out, it's what, 40 minutes or something like that?
Between 39 and 42.
39 and 42 minutes. So not a long listen. I mean, that's a commute for some people. There's a lot of people, if you can get them to listen to that, they may have those light bulb turn on, aha moments that connect a lot of these dots out there. And so essentially, we just had guests on, and I like to think us spitting a lot of hard facts out there on the air that make the case for there's not just a policy prescription for why something like school choice matters, parental and empowerment matters. There's a societal one. There's also moral and ethical ones as well.
Yeah. And it all wraps together in to support the idea that we, you know, we have these solutions that we've put on the table. Like one of them being, well, we want school choice. Because it and like Daryl said, it makes all schools better. It doesn't just make the outcomes for private and parochial school kids better. It makes public school outcomes better.
The study of Philadelphia years ago proved that. Charter schools were allowed in. Guess what happened? Performance and academic performance and other performances at the regular public schools, those went up as well because all of a sudden they had some competition.
Attendance rates also increased as well. Everything got better. So you've got that one piece, and then you've got the piece where now once parents are understanding of the type of things that are being taught in their schools, parent engagement goes up, and actually you can actually start refining the things that are being taught because we need to go back. That means we've gone way off the reservation in terms of what's being taught because proficiency is down in all areas, and we need to get back to basics.
And I think we had a lot of people over the years, and we've talked about it here, on just the leftist bias. When it comes to issues like race in America and economics and capitalism and things like that.
And even the view of history.
Right. And now what we're seeing is, and go to Parents Defending Education's website and social media, and you can see this, or listen to that conversation with Carol Lamore once that's posted as a podcast here in a little bit. They're pointing out that now it is incredibly explicit. Literally, an organization, Teaching While Muslim, is making the case for anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, pro-Islamic, embrace the, Palestinian terrorism cause. And they're writing that into curricula.
Yeah.
And they're doing it with the blessing and the protection of the teachers unions and the school administrators. And most people don't know this is happening. Now, that looks like we're now catching this in the early stages, but it is the next step of all the other garbage that's been allowed to infiltrate and take root in the public education system.
Yeah, they want to cast Israel as the bad guys for all time. You know, the Israel started as the bad guys, and they're continuing to be the bad guys. And guess what happens when the kids get out of K-12 education? They believe Israel's the bad guys,
right?
And they're acting against them right now.
And then you saw what happened, like for instance, in the Texas Austin campus, a bunch of these leftist snowflakes decided we're going to free Palestine, which, as though the University of Texas has any say in that whatsoever.
Yeah.
But then the cops were ready for it. The Texas Department of Public Safety, which would be the equivalent of the state police or state troopers in any other state, they showed up in the gear ready to have a conversation that the coffee shop snowflakes were not ready to have. And it was kind of humorous watching like these scrawny little academic trust fund babies.
Low-tea scarf wearers.
You can't. Yeah, the low-tea scarf wearers. I am totally stealing that from you.
Please.
You know,
please
trying to think that if they just physically pushed a little bit back. And what happens is these police officers are professionals. They see who the agitators are.
Oh, yeah.
They see who the professionals are. Mm-hmm. And they will knock out of the way the first couple rows because the agitators are typically 2, 3, 4 rows back.
Yeah, they want to be away from them.
Knock them out and grab them like a video game and just yank them out right through there behind the cop lines and then haul them off.
Yeah.
And you've got all of a sudden all these children who now have to call mom and dad and like, I need you to bail me out. The big bad police officer, he was mean to me. Well, what were you doing?
Yeah, what were you doing?
I just saw you on the news. By the way, you're coming home.
Yeah, I saw this one image. Somebody shared it on Twitter and it's of a young lady, young college lady. Her face covering, which was, I think, that standard pattern, has slipped down just a little bit, and she's looking kind of off in the distance towards the camera, and she just has this look on her face. It's like one part horror, one part fear, one part, oh my God, you know, it's just surprise. It's just the combination of feelings you can see in that picture.
Because reality is setting in.
Yes, and somebody said, caption this, and it's like, I F-O'd.
Yeah,
I found out
this is because all of a sudden it's not just theory. It's not just my teacher was right. I'm angry now. Now it's like, oh crap, this is effective.
This
and
is
you
real.
Mentioned the mask thing. I was looking at some live streaming video of I don't know if it was New York University or Columbia, but one of those in New York.
Yeah.
This morning, and whenever the camera would pan over, they were all either running from the camera view or they were putting those scarves or their masks on.
Yep.
They're not wearing those N95s or those surgical masks because they're afraid of COVID.
No, they're not really.
They're doing it because they don't want their identity. Mm-hmm. So if you won't stand by what you're so-called protesting, you either know you're the bad guy or you're not sure about it. But this is a tactic, which, by the way, it's 2024.
Mm-hmm.
If you're still walking around wearing a mask, you look like an idiot.
To begin with, yeah.
Period.
Yes.
You look like an idiot if you're wearing a mask in 2024.
And if you're in one of these groups, you look like the bad guy.
Yeah.
You look like a criminal.
Because you are the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty much.
All right, 314-912-1019.
Are we the baddies?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, you are. You are the baddies.
Oh, man, look at this. Blues Nut. Mike, I logged into Facebook for the first time in 8 years last week, and the first thing I posted was this station and got an instant 90-day ban.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Blues Nut.
Oh,
Facebook does not like us either.
Yeah.
Everybody, please do that. They can't ban us all.
I haven't even said anything crazy about vaccines today.
Well, not today.
Well, not today. Yeah.
But Blues Nut, thank you so much. Everybody else, please share us. Rumble, Twitter, everywhere else. Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, speaking of aha moments,
see
how I tied that together?
Aha!
Tomorrow's Flashback Friday, so you've got a few minutes left here to get your request in, and we'll try to squeeze it in tomorrow.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Oh, let's see here. Lunettes on Rumble. I'm going to have to admit, I'm not familiar with this song. The Call? Song called Let the Day Begin?
Oh, The Call.
The Call.
Yes. Let the Day Begin. Great song.
That's a request.
Okay.
So, Lunettes, we got it.
The one with the encyclopedic music knowledge and immediately recognized the whole
He's got the encyclopedic one.
Goodness.
I guess I've only got a dictionary one. So I'm gonna look that up. I don't know that one.
Single volume versus multi volume.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what it is.
So, Lunettes, thank you so much. Stell just wrote that down there. All right, 8:55. Vic Porcelli coming your way here in about 7 minutes or so. Guys, I got to tell you, my cat, Rosie, almost died this morning.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we almost lost her.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
We love our furry critter.
See, what happened was,
okay,
she's a, because I obviously get up really early in the morning, and that's not a, you know, I hate it when like morning people are like, oh, I get up so early. You're not being heroic. You know,
that's just your schedule.
But she's accustomed to getting her breakfast at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Well, I was running late, and she didn't get it till 3:12.
Okay. Yes.
And so,
yes,
based on her complaining and being in circles and not letting you go anywhere, apparently she almost starved to death.
Yes, that was a real danger.
Right. Culinary alarms are going off.
So I almost lost Rosie the cat because she didn't have her food by 3 o'clock.
I don't hear a can opening up anywhere.
12 minutes late, Mike.
I know.
That's crazy. It's an eternity for a little furry girl.
So I'm just like, are you serious? I'm like, you are not going to die.
It's so funny.
By feline standards, you have a privileged life.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's funny. Now, of course, from the feline perspective, you know, you, her servant, were not performing to her expectations, and she was letting you know about her disappointment.
So apparently there's like a code of conduct here. Goat lady says, Mike, my cats also almost starve if they don't get their food. All capitals. As soon as I get downstairs, the drama is real. It's so true.
It's so. Yeah, have you seen? It's like a. I'm not sure if it's a video series or a commercial series or what, but it's a narration of a cat's life.
I've seen that.
And it's like I'm afraid this may be my last entry.
That's right.
my food bowl is only 1/3 full. That's right. There's no sign of the human.
Dear diary,
farewell.
I tried to kill the oppressor by rubbing up against its ankles at the top of the stairs. It failed again.
My torment continues. That's right.
Lord. So just so you know,
yes,
Rosie's safe, everybody. Rosie,
yeah.
Don't go call the cat cops.
She's checked in as safe from starvation.
Marked safe from starvation.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.